Well, it is great to be with you again. I love you all dearly. Nick, thank you for leading us in worship. That was wonderful. Really, really was. give you something to keep in mind as you pray for me. Yes, I'm leaving Thursday morning for Tanzania. I'll be teaching with another colleague. We'll be training pastors and church leaders, and then at the end of the 2 weeks, then we'll have a graduation. These will be pastors and leaders that have been with us, some of them 3 years, some of them 2 years, and so we've gotten to know them very well, and we're excited to see what God is going to be doing with this training in their life. As I go, was it last week, maybe the week before, I went to visit my urologist, and my urologist says, "Hey, we've got good news and bad news." I said, "Okay, let's hear the good news first." He says, "Your left kidney looks great. There are no stones in your left kidney." I said, "Okay, what's the bad news?" "Not so much for your right kidney." So he says, "Large stones are like 8 to 9 millimeters. He says, "You've got 3 in your right kidney that are 10 millimeters. He says, "And you have 1 that is 30 millimeters. 30 millimeters is over 1 inch in size. And he says, "That one's not coming out unless we go up in there and blast it away." And so, long story short, pray that none of them move while I'm gone. I am taking Percocet with me. So if they do decide to move, I have something to keep me from absolutely losing my mind. But I have a date set for after I get back. They're going to go up in there with a laser and blast them. To me, I'm an old school Disneyland guy. That sounds like inner space. I know most of you are not old school Disneyland, but there was a ride called Inner Space, and where people went up in, you know, were made really small and went up inside somebody's body. That's what I picture in my mind, is the urologist is going to get really small, go up in there, and then just start blasting like asteroids. So I know it's not going to be anything like that, but that's what is going to be happening in my mind. So be praying for me. I'm going to try to do everything I can not to jar any of those loose. So thank you for your prayers. I want to give you an update on what's been going on with our ministry since the last time I was here, and I've got some pictures. This is Liberia. I was introduced to Liberia through a ministry that I partner with, and I was there teaching, and so getting to know this ministry, they asked me to come and speak. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And this is Pastor John. Actually, in their style, he's actually a bishop. He's a newly minted bishop, I guess that's the word for it. But he said, "Hey, would you come and speak? We're having a general conference for all of our churches in this one region. It's called the Nimba County. Think of like the Nimba state of Liberia." And he said, "I'd like you to speak on the armor of God and the security of the believer, and we'll have a 3-day conference, and you'll be doing all the speaking." I said, "Sure, I'll come." So that was last September. Go ahead and go to the next slide. On the way, John picked me up from the hotel near the airport, and on the way back to Ganta, where he lives, our car broke down. So we're at this auto repair shop, and there was this little boy, and he had these two gourds, two pods, and does anybody know what those are? Cocoa. It's cocoa. And so next slide. This is what cocoa looks like before Hershey gets a hold of it. And he said, "Here, take the whole thing." I said, no, "I just want a couple. They're really slimy." So he had been digging in there with his fingers, so I just dug in with my fingers, and that's how I keep my immune system going, or that's how I keep my stones going. So I had a couple of cocoa seeds. They're very sweet. They don't taste anything like chocolate. Go to the next slide. So I'm preparing to speak at this conference. Now, before I started speaking, they said, okay, we've had a slight change of plans. I said, okay, what is the slight change of plans? Well, the archbishop over the entire country decided that our regional conference is now going to be a nationwide conference. I said, okay, more people, I can do that. He goes, and your allotted speaking time has gone from 3 days to 2 one-hour sessions. I said, okay, all right, I'll roll with this, Lord. You brought me here for a reason. I could have stayed home. You know, I wasn't feeling well before I left, and I fought through it, went, and God, you must have a reason for doing this. And so I said, what would you like me to speak on? He said, I'd like you to speak on the armor of Christ and the security of the believer. He says, can you do that in 2 hours? I said, no, I can mention them. I said, but let me focus on the security of the believer. And so I spoke on the sufficiency of Christ for our salvation in the first hour. Now, this group, going into it, I thought there was more of a Baptist kind of group. I got there, no, it's more of a Pentecostal kind of group. It's okay, I can do that. So security, the sufficiency of Christ to get us to heaven. The second hour, which was 2 days later, was the sufficiency of Christ to get us all the way to heaven. I thought, here is where I'm going to go up and speak, and they are going to politely ask me to never come back to Liberia. I was wrong. Yes, I did get some pushback from some people, but the archbishop came to me after, and he says, I want to talk to you. I go, yeah, here we go. And so I went to talk to him, and he said, this is the kind of teaching we need in Liberia. He said, can you come and train our pastors? I'm in. I'm all in. So, next slide. So, in March of this year, I went back and we trained in three areas. The first city is called Ganta. I know none of this means anything to you. It's more of an inland city. It's you fly into Monrovia, and that's right on the ocean. And so anything from there is going uphill. So this is up higher elevation. And so we were teaching on biblical interpretation. You probably say, Pastor Brian, we've heard you speak before, and it seems like you're always teaching on biblical interpretation. You're right. I do. I love teaching pastors how to interpret the Bible more accurately. So the teaching went well. Go ahead and go to the next slide. In Ganta. And this is what their church looks like. Go ahead to the next slide. And here's this, I use this illustration quite often. When I'm teaching on context, I will take and I will ask people to come up and I'll say, I'll invite someone up and I said, okay, this person, you are a word. I said, now, what do we know? How do we know what a word means? I said, because a word could mean many different things. Like, they speak English, so I can speak a little more freely with them. I said, like the word, in English, we have the word trunk. Now, the trunk could be a box you put clothes in. But it could also be the back end of a car where you carry things when you're driving. I said, the trunk could also be the base of a tree. But the trunk could also be the nose of an elephant. I love doing that when I have an interpreter, because I'll say it could be the nose of an elephant, and I'll go, and he'll go, could be the nose of an elephant in whatever language, and then he'll just say what he said. I said, no. And he'll go, no. So I get him to do it, and it's fun for me. I don't care if they don't like it, but so then I call up, I say, well, it could also be a pair of shorts that you go swimming in. So a trunk could be a box that you put your trunks in, and you put your trunk in the trunk of a car that's parked next to the trunk of the tree, right by the elephant with his trunk. And I make the interpreter do all of that too. And I said, how do we know what the meaning of a word is? So I call somebody else up. This is a sentence. You see, a word doesn't stand alone, it stands within a sentence. And then I call somebody else up. This is a verse. And somebody else, this is a paragraph. This is a section. This is a chapter. Call somebody up. This is a book. This is a testament. And this is the Bible. I said, if your interpretation of this word or this verse doesn't line up, you need to start over. I said, here's what we normally do. And I have the first three step forward. And I say, we think verses are placed in the Bible randomly as just thoughts, as if they're floating out there independent of anything else. I said, but if these don't line up with these, your interpretation is wrong. You need to start all over again. And so that's an illustration that I use. And so these people are demonstrating my illustration on context. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Then I also say context is very important, because without the proper context, you could have very bad results. I have the man carrying my backpack. I said, if he's carrying my backpack, which is heavy, and I call the lady up and I say, pretend you're holding a baby. And so she's holding her arms out like she's holding a baby. I said, now, if I walk up and I say, you are not meant to carry that load, throw it down. I said, now be careful, don't throw my bag down. It has my computer in it, so don't throw it down. But how do you know which one I'm talking to? And they say, well, of course you're talking to him because you're not going to throw the baby down. I said, yes, but you have to interpret that. You have to know the context. You see, if he throws this burden down, then the worst I get is a broken computer. If you throw this baby down, you could kill the baby. So it's very important that you understand the context that you're reading. So this is my illustration there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So we had a good group, good crowd there, learning biblical interpretation in Ganta. Go to the next slide. And the next one. And I guess I put a lot of pictures of me in there. Go to the next one. This is the entire group there. So go ahead, go on to the next. The next village we went to was Saklapia. Saklapia. It's about a 40-minute drive from Ganta. I'm staying in Ganta, and we're driving every day to Saklapia. Now, Ganta is a very industrial area, so the education level is pretty moderate. Saklapia is more remote, and their education level is much lower. So I'm having to slow down, extremely slow, for them to understand what I'm talking about. So I just decided, okay, I'm only going to go through half of the material with this group. And when I come back next time, I will finish the material. So I could go, I finished the material in Ganta, I finished half of the material in Saklapia. Go ahead and go to the next. And this is the group in Saklapia. Go ahead. And that's all of them together. Go ahead, go to the next slide. And then we went and taught in Senequelli. Now, Senequelli is a very highly educated group. Matter of fact, one of the students in the training is a university president. And it was nice because he has a government-issued car that's very nice, and he had his driver come pick me up and do all the running around, so it was very comfortable for 3 days. And anyway, so I could get through all of the material because they have a very high education level. And so go ahead and go to the next slide. Just want to give you a little life of Liberia. This is the way that they carry babies in all of Africa that I've been in. They just tie them on the back, cinch them up tight, Their little head just sticks out, and the mother's hands are free to do whatever she has to do. Baby's secure there and can rest comfortably. Go ahead. Now we went, the next one is I went to Uganda. Now in Uganda, I've been going to Uganda for a while, and so we've started up a new training in a new area called Fort Portal. And we went and we took a bunch of Bibles. These are Bibles in different languages. There are Bibles in English, Bibles in Luganda, which is the national language, Bibles in Lutoro, which is the regional language, and there's one other there. It may be Swahili, but I'm not sure. Go ahead and go to the next. So whenever we go there, it's about a 6-hour trip, and it's a road trip. So you drive up, and there's certain places where you just pull up, and they'll bring chicken on a stick, liver on a stick, all kinds of food to you there. And this is where, you know, this is African fast food. So go to the next slide. So we got chicken on a stick, and this is our team there. Go ahead and go to the next. When the taxi is full, it's not unusual to see people riding on the back or up on top even. Go ahead and go to the next. Now this lady, she is selling something that is really a very nice little traveling snack. Go to the next slide. These are fried grasshoppers. Now they take and they pull the wings and the legs off for you, so you don't have little legs sticking out of your teeth, but they're fried, they're really good, they're crunchy. And go to the next slide. This is what one of their grasshoppers looks like before it turns into a delicious little snack. Go ahead and go to the next. And on the way, we see the baboons, and there's always, I love watching the baboons as we drive through on the way to Fort Portal. Go ahead and go to the next. And again, so we're staying in Fort Portal, and then we have about a 40-minute drive to the little village. That's the name of it, Bunyangabu. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Go to the next slide. So my friend, Pastor Rick, is teaching, and this is a young man who's interpreting for us. I'll tell you about this young man in a minute, but go ahead and go to the next slide. So I had this little picture of me so you didn't think I'm just traveling around to be Rick's photographer. Go ahead. And go to the next slide. So as I'm teaching biblical interpretation, there are 6 questions you need to ask every passage. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. I've taught it so much in Tanzania where they speak Swahili that it is Nani, Nini, Lini, Wapi, Kwanini, Kwanamnagani. And then this first one is Lutoro. So Nuha, Kintuki, Nidi, Ninkaha, Habaki, Kikakorakita. That last one, I just say it fast and however it comes out. If you just say it with confidence, you guys don't know that I'm wrong. So anyway, who, what, when, where, why, how. I drive that into them. Ask those questions of every passage. Go ahead and go to the next. So they're working through interpreting passages together. Go ahead and go to the next. And all of these are pastors. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I took them outside. I was teaching and using the passage of John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches, right? You all know that passage. They don't really see vines and grapes very often. So I said, come on outside. So we go outside and there's an avocado tree. And Jesus is saying, I am the avocado tree. I am the trunk. You are the branches. The avocados are produced by the branch being attached to the trunk. And so I was using the illustration of what was around us. Go to the next. And this is our team, Pastor Rick, me. You could tell us we're the 2 white guys. Of course, we're also the 2 large guys. This is Moses, the one next to Pastor Rick. and Thomas in the middle, and Pastor Favor over on my left side there. Go ahead and go to the next. When we started teaching in November, I said, how many of you have Bibles? Including the pastors, there was about four people that had Bibles out of 65. We ended up giving away 65 Bibles because some of the pastors had a Bible in Lutoro, but they wanted an English Bible so they could work on their English. I'm good. Right after we gave this away, the next day, about 30 of them didn't show up. They found out we weren't there to just hand them cash. They took what they could get, and they were gone. But that left us 35 people that we could pour into. Go to the next slide. And these were all pastors that got Bibles from us. Go ahead. These are the Rwenzori Mountains over there. You've heard about the Ebola outbreak. The other side of that mountain is DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. The other side of that mountain is where the Ebola outbreak has happened. But there's not a lot of interaction because there's a big mountain there, so we were perfectly fine, we were safe. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area. Go to the next. And this is how we would go pick up some of the students. Some of them would walk from that mountain in. There was one lady who was walking 20 kilometers to the training and 20 kilometers back from the training every day so she could come to the training. Go ahead and go to the next. Little more life of Africa. This is a butcher shop, and their meat will be hung out on a hook there and until somebody buys it. And so there's a lot of flies in that area and hasn't killed them all off yet. Go ahead and go to the next. And here's a little pig going to market. Wee, wee, wee. And go to the next. And this is our group that we started training. Now, when we were training this group in November, I was teaching on biblical interpretation. Pastor Rick was teaching on survey of the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit was teaching on what is a false prophet? How do you tell a false prophet? And the Lord just kept hammering prophets, false prophets. And when we left, there was a lady in the church who attended this church here. Her house is right next door. She got mad because we offended her because she calls herself a prophet. So she left the church, took five people with her that had been in our training, and started a church in her house right next door to this church. Now, all five of these people had been in the training, so they're now listening to her, and they're going, wait a minute, we have Bibles now, and what you're teaching us doesn't line up with what God says in His Word. Huh, that's what these guys were telling us. And she starts making prophecies, and they're going, wait a minute, the prophecies you're making aren't coming true. You're who these guys were warning us about. So they, all five of those guys left and came back to the church. So for me, that's a win. I was stoked. Matter of fact, Rick and I were weeping when they were telling us this. Go to the next slide. Daniel, our interpreter. When we were teaching in November, he came to us after the training, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, I need to ask my people for their forgiveness. I've been teaching the Bible out of its proper context. I have not been teaching the Bible the way God wants us to teach the Bible. Again, that's a win for us. He comes back in March when we were there, and he said, the church that I'm on staff at, the church that he grew up at, said, we don't want you to go translate for those guys anymore, because they're filling your head with crazy ideas like stay true to the Bible, interpret the Word of God in the context of which it was meant to be interpreted. And you could tell the Lord is really working on his heart. We'll be back in November. I will be surprised if the Lord hasn't moved him away from that ministry. He told us, he said, the church that I'm on staff at is an unbiblical church. And so God is going to be moving him away. Be praying for Daniel. I'm looking forward for God doing great things with him. Go ahead and go to the next. On the way back, we stopped to buy some cabbages. This is how the cabbages get to market. You just put them on a motorbike. And so we stopped this guy, and rather than buy them at the market, you know, because he's going to take them to the market, sell them, and then they resell them. So we just bought them directly from the farmer. So it was a blessing to him, and it was a blessing to Moses, who was with us. Go ahead and go to the next. So these are all the students we had there just outside of Fort Portal. Go to the next slide. Again, this is Pastor Rick. This is us back teaching in March. Go ahead and go to the next. Little babies just wander around. I love it. Go ahead and go to the next. But in that training in March, Moses said, who in here identifies as a prophet? This young man. His name is Osbud. He raises his hand. I'm a prophet. By the end of the 2 weeks, he was no longer identifying himself as a prophet. Once he found out the Old Testament penalty for being a false prophet is you were stoned to death. And God takes serious what prophets say and who claims to be a prophet. And so he was no longer claiming to be a prophet. We'll see if that holds on to when we get back in November. Go ahead and go to the next. More life in Africa. When it rains and you drive, this is called a boda boda, because it's motorcycles, and they'll pick up at this border and take it to that border. So they go from boda to boda. So these are called boda bodas. When it rains, you just find a house, park your bike, and take a nap. Go ahead and go to the next. So, Tanzania. I went to Tanzania in January. I was there in August, and then in January. Go ahead. Go to the next. And so we stay in Shinyanga, and we do the teaching in Kolondoto. So go to the next slide. And there's Rick teaching. Go ahead. And we gave away these are study Bibles in Swahili. And we gave them away to the people who had graduated last time. And we had a donor that donated all the Bibles. And we're having 56 students graduate this, when I go there in next week, or I leave Thursday. But in a couple weeks, when we do the graduation, we'll be giving them each these study Bibles in Swahili. So go to the next. And this is the bishop we work with, Bishop Bagoda. Go to the next slide. And these are students that had received these study Bibles. Go ahead and go to the next. And Rick is teaching them how to use the study Bible and telling them these notes, that's not scripture. The notes are ideas that men have written down. Stick to the scripture. The notes are to help you in your interpretation of scripture. Go to the next. And so these were all of our students. Go ahead and go to the next. And that's the end. Okay. So that just kind of brings you up to date. What time do I need to finish? Now? Okay. I'll try to get it by 11:30. Is that okay? Okay. I've named this message the Master's Banquet. Sometimes we as human beings, we tend to want to hang out with people that are just like us, whether it be by skin color, whether it be by skin tone, whether it be by culture, or by language. We tend to congregate together. We feel more comfortable around our people. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I am saying is maybe that's not the best thing. In Luke 4, Jesus was invited to a house of a religious ruler for a meal. This meal happened on the Sabbath. While he was there, he took the opportunity to to rattle the cages of several of those who were in attendance. His great misdeed in their eyes was he healed a man who was suffering from dropsy. Dropsy is edema. His legs were swollen and very painful. And I imagine this man struggling to walk around with these ballooned up legs. And then Jesus told a parable about men who were disgraced when they were jockeying for position of honor when they went to sit at the feast table. And then after that, he told them what we call the parable of the great banquet. So turn to your Bible to Luke chapter 14. And let's read verses 12 through 24. Luke 14, I'll start in verse 12. We'll go through 24. He said also to the man who had not, who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid, or you have your reward." Verse 13, "But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who had reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to them, Jesus said to them, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought five yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said to him, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.'" Man, men always do that. They blame it on their wives. Adam started it and we just carry on the tradition. I cannot come because I've married a wife. Verse 21, "So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Jesus was yanking their chain because they thought they were the privileged ones. They thought they were the only ones who would ever be at God's banquet. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through their excuses. My interest this morning is to look at the heart of the master. You see, the banquet was not about those who were coming. The banquet was about the master. This parable is a shadow of another banquet, a banquet yet to come. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 9 tells us, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" This banquet is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. The only ones invited to this banquet are those that are called out of the highways and the byways. These are not the Hollywood A-listers. These are the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. These are the spiritual beggars Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The poor in spirit are the spiritual beggars. Jesus tells us we are to go out and find them. That means we must leave our comfort zones. We must leave our safe spaces. I love this church. This is not a church of one people group. This is a church made up of people from all around the world. We have people from Lebanon. We have people from Africa. We have people from India here. And this is foreshadowing this great supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where there will be people from all nations, tribes, and tongues. Revelation 7, verse 9 tells us, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands." This is why we do what we do together, you and I. We go out to fill the Master's house for the grand banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. As Jesus was spending his last night with his disciples, he was looking into the future. He was looking at this marriage supper. In Luke chapter 24, verses 14 through 20, says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you.'" Excuse me. "This is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." As we look back on the Lord's Supper, we celebrate his sacrifice. And we look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let us not be like the Pharisees who wanted to keep the invitation to themselves. But let us be like the slaves who were sent out to compel others to come, going out on the gospel highway. The Apostle Paul was one who was compelled to come to the feast. He was compelled by Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. After Jesus taught him, after Jesus called him, he taught him about what we are going to do next. Daniel, are you available to come up? I'd like Daniel and Moses, would you come up? I may do this a little bit different than you do it, but I want the deacons to come up and administer the elements. So what I'd like for you to do is to come up and take of the cup partake of the bread, and don't partake of it until you get back to your seat, and we will be served by our deacons. Just a little housekeeping. This is for believers. I don't know your heart. That's above my pay grade. The Holy Spirit knows where you are. So as we are coming up, I'd like Nick to come up and just play something softly for us. And I would like us to just spend a moment in prayer, get our hearts right with the Lord, and realize this is a celebration of His table. This is a celebration of His feast, His banquet. Now, as you come up, the small round one is the gluten-free. If you need gluten-free, please partake. But other than that, Moses and Daniel will pass out as you come up and take of the elements, and then go back, and then we'll partake together as a family. Yes, come up and take. As we look at what Jesus was doing on that first Lord's Supper, he was taking an ancient tradition and he was reforming it. He was reshaping it, and he was showing how it pointed to him. And he said, take of the bread that is broken for us. And as we look at the bread, we see that it is pierced, symbolizing that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. We see that there are stripes, and it is by His stripes we are healed. He took the stripes that we deserved. So take the bread and let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we partake of the elements of your body and your blood. Lord, may we remember your sacrifice and look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will share this with you. In Jesus' name, please partake. In 1 Corinthians 11, start in verse 23, Paul says, "For what I received from the Lord, that I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed. Your blood that you didn't hold back even one drop. You gave it all so our sins could be made whiter than snow. So Lord, would you bless us as we partake of this cup together? In Jesus' name. John, you want?
Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Wanna stand with me and sing this? Once your enemy, now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
Sing one more time.
Oh, your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you for the wonderful word, Brian. And we are praying for safe travels for you as well. Let me just bless you guys with the benediction. And bless the Lord. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, might, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." God bless you guys.